Are still awake. I'm excited about this message for a few reasons, but part of it is the fact that this is the conclusion of a series that we've been doing on the heart of discipleship. And I'd encourage you, if you have not had a chance to watch any of the other messages, get caught up, because all of this is the culmination today of what we've been talking about for the last 4 weeks. But the heart of discipleship and making disciples. Many of you have probably heard Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20 several times. You've probably heard plenty of people preach through it. And I'm going to preach through it again today. But today I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to focus on the main point instead of breaking down specifically the passage. And then we'll wrap up with that passage. But this conclusion this week is a all-hands-on-deck statement about us as disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, you got to love Doug, right? He's not here today. He's not feeling well. But if you pay attention to that glass box out there, he's always putting something up there that just makes you kind of think. And here he is. He had this up this past week. The church is not a cruise ship where a handful of people serve everyone else who's relaxing. Everybody said amen. All right, we believe it then. No, the church is a battleship where it's all hands on deck and everyone serves the mission. And amen, hallelujah, that is true. And you are God's workmanship, created for good things that you just have to walk into. And we're going to talk about that mission statement today because that's the conclusion of all of this. Before we do, though, I have something to open with, as I always do. And I'm going to read it because I would not remember this. A farmer went into his banker and announced that he had bad news and good news. First, the bad news. Well, said the farmer, I can't make my mortgage payments, and the crop loan I've taken out for the past 10 years, I can't pay that off either. Not only that, I won't be able to pay you the couple hundred thousand I still have outstanding on my tractors and other equipment. So I'm going to have to give up the farm, turn it all over to you, and whatever you can salvage it for. Silence prevailed for a minute, and then the banker said, well, what's the good news? Well, the good news is I'm going to keep on banking with you, said the farmer. Listen, this morning we are going to focus on the idea of making disciples. Making disciples. Now, what's interesting about this passage is this is the conclusion. These are the final departing words of our Lord Jesus Christ before he ascends to heaven. There's some significance to that, don't you think? Final departing words have significance. Many of us have somebody we said goodbye to, and they might have had something they said to you before they left this earth, and that still sticks with you to this day. Whether it was a piece of wisdom or a reminder of their love, they've said something that stands out. Jesus knew he was departing, and he chose this to be his final words for us. Go and make disciples. And the amazing thing about this and why it's all hands on deck is this wasn't an encouragement. This wasn't a suggestion. This was a commandment. Jesus said, go, make disciples. It was a commandment for us. And there's a powerful command in this to go out and make disciples and reach the lost with the good news. I love how Mark 16, 15 shares the same, we call it the Great Commission, but he says in Mark 16, 15, he said, then he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. We're giving our marching orders. And it's an all hands on deck thing. This is the Great Commission that God has given us. And it leads me to one main point here, one theme to the entire message. And so maybe you'd be saying, oh, I wish you would have broke down this or you would have spent more time on this. Just give me grace this morning. God said, we need this here. He said, we need to hear this. And the main point of this message is our call to share the gospel. Our call to share the gospel. We need to hear that. We have a world that is broken and they're in need of something. And it happens to be something the church has. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're holding on to that thing that they need. And we got to do something about that. I find it incredible. I was reading this morning. I didn't have much time to overlook my sermon throughout the weekend because it's been a crazy weekend. And an awesome weekend. Iron Sharpens Iron was amazing. It was inspiring. But as I was reading this morning and preparing, the Lord brought to me Ecclesiastes 3:11, where it says, God placed eternity in the heart of all mankind. We all have that eternity in our hearts. And what that means is that we have an awareness that after this life, there's got to be something more. And I think the greatest question we can frame this message on today is, when I die, where am I going? What's next after this? For the person who has the gospel of Jesus Christ in their life, they know. The Bible tells us there are one of two places, heaven or hell. One of them sounds a whole lot better than the other, especially if you spend any time hearing about what hell is like. Okay, if you like to be around anyone at all, then hell's not a place for you because you will be absolutely cut off and separated from everyone, especially God. Okay, but the gospel message is this hope for all of us. As if you're a human being with a beating heart, listen, what happens next in this life when it's over is a question you are going to be asking. What else? Now, it took me a while. When I was younger, the last thing I ever thought about was death, right? Because who wants to sit there and think about death all the time? But as I matured and I grew in my faith, I started to realize there is something after this life. And life is like a twinkle of an eye. It goes by so quick. So what's next? I want to share with you this morning, I am not an artist. You have seen my artwork. Remember that pottery cup that I showed you last week? My hands do not create beautiful things, art-wise, okay? They just don't. And I am not an art expert. However, I found this picture very significant. This is the church at Avour. If I'm saying it right, I don't speak French either, so if you're a French expert, you can beat me up after church. Use the French words, okay? But the Church of Avour, this was painted by Vincent van Gogh. Now, what's interesting about this is I didn't know much about Vincent van Gogh before I looked at this painting and I read the interpretation of it. He never gave an interpretation of his artwork. The experts who interpreted this interpreted it based off of his life experiences. See, Vincent van Gogh desired to be a minister. Fun fact, most of us probably didn't know. In fact, he never in his life became a famous artist. It wasn't until, sadly, he took his own life that later on his art became famous. This guy never lived in any kind of fame. He actually struggled with mental illness towards the end of his life before he gave up. But his father was a minister, and he desired to be a pastor. And so he served 1 year in the church. And after that 1 year was over, the church said, you just ain't going to cut the mustard, and they kicked him out. He had given up everything to serve the church. This was his desire. It was his passion. And the statement that was given on it was, or the official reason was, his speech was not eloquent enough to be a preacher. Oh man, I'd be in trouble. I'd be in such trouble. Now, others have said, well, in truth, the issue here is that he was not behaving according to the expectations of the institutional church. Ouch. What does that mean? He just didn't look like the church expected him to look. He didn't do things the way the church expected him to do them. So he wasn't enough. And he was thrown out. And so we get this artwork towards the end of his life, and the interpretations of it are quite fascinating. I wouldn't have paid any attention to this unless I was reading about it, but maybe you've already picked up on this. What's interesting about this church is there's no doors on it. You notice that? There's not a single door on this church. Now, you could say, oh, well, the doors are probably on the back side of it. Well, aside from being a huge fire hazard, here's another reason why we could probably argue, no, there's not. See these two paths that fork? They don't go to the church, they go around the church. And the experts have said, you will probably notice that it is more than likely the case that what happens, you've got villages on the backside of this church. Well, the path goes around the church and probably connects and leads to the village. Everyone's going around the church, not in the church, not to the church. And then it is illuminated with the great light of the sun, but it's sitting in its own shadow. Interesting. Now, again, I'm not an art expert, so you didn't get my translation of what this means. This was somebody else's. But I show you this morning because what's my point? We have the light in us. We have the hope, the doorway to God in us. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church needs doors on it. The doors that lead to Jesus Christ. We need to be a people who share it. We need to be a people who hold the gospel and spread the gospel. That's not just the pastor's job. That's not just the deacon's job or missions and evangelism's team. That is all of us. We're light bearers, friends. That church will light up because the people of the church light up with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so today we're going to focus on that. We're going to focus on the gospel. And I have 3 points to sharing the gospel I want to bring to you this morning. The first one is we need to have compassion for the lost. We need to have compassion for the lost. Matthew 9:36 says, when he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were weary and worn out like sheep without a shepherd. Weary and worn out like sheep without a shepherd. Simply put, Jesus was saying, I saw people there that were lost. They were lost and they needed me. They needed Jesus. That's what he says. The church needs to have doors on it, right? I mean, that seems like common sense, but for some reason, Vincent van Gogh noticed the church that he saw lacking doors. It needs to have doors on it. It needs to illuminate the light. The word for church in the Greek in the New Testament we hear about is ecclesiasti, or ecclesia, I should say, ecclesia. And this word comes out of 2 other Greek words that means to call people out. We are the people called out. And that's what the church means. It's very interesting that the Quakers, when they first started building their churches, they refused to call their buildings the church. It's because they got the point. They called them steeple houses. Some of you maybe have seen an old Quaker steeple house. Well, they called it a steeple house because the church is us. Amen. We're the church. The church is not the pastor that we called. And praise God for that, because if this church just thought that this church was Pastor Jerry, we'd be in trouble. If the church down the street just thought it was their pastor, we'd be in trouble. The church is not the pastor. The church is us. Our commitment to this fellowship is not about the guy up here. It's about us as the church. We are the church, the people called out. And that's what the Quakers recognize. I'm not saying we should call this the steeple house. I'm not saying that. But you get my point. The church is us. And if we get too stuck in, well, traditionally, this is how everything went, and it must go this way, because if it doesn't go this way, then it doesn't feel like the church I grew up in, and then I can't deal with it, because, we get stuck in 4 walls, and we lock ourselves in. That illustration there, what I see so amazingly, and it breaks my heart, is I see here is a church that had exactly what the lady out on that street needed. But the people inside couldn't get out, and the people outside couldn't get in. Where does the gospel go if we don't bring it? Right? We're the light bearers. Second, we need to know the gospel. I mean, that kind of makes sense, right? If we're going to share the gospel, we need to know the gospel. It makes sense. If we're to go out into the world and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them, what is it we're articulating to the world? What is the gospel message? Here's the thing that's amazing about it. Sometimes the gospel message becomes elusive. R.C. Sproul, some of you may know him. He's an American theologian. R.C. Sproul spoke about a master's class in the college that he was a part of, where he asked the graduating master's ministry class to articulate the gospel. 10% of them were able to articulate the gospel. Of a master's class, 10%. He said most of them either overcomplicated the gospel or they just missed it entirely. We got to know what the gospel is if we're going to go out and share the gospel. And I'd be a fool if I didn't tell you what the gospel was and then say, go out and share the gospel, right? We need to know what the gospel is. So I'm going to share just briefly a simple framework that as you share the gospel will develop for you personally. Before I do, let me just say this. Simply put, the gospel is hope. It's hope. At the end of the day, when we start asking that question, God, what is after this life? What's next? It's hope. We started this series with a video. Some of you were here for that. You got to see that video. It was on an airplane. I encourage you, if you have not seen that video, go back on our Facebook page, look for a video on an airplane and watch it. Okay, I'm going to give you another illustration. The gospel message is hope. So it's like if I took you in an airplane 10,000 feet up, and then I said, I have some bad news for you. Plane's going down. And oh, by the way, the only way you're going to survive is you need to jump from this plane. That's not good news, is it? It's not. But what if just before you take that step, I say, oh, by the way, I have a parachute. Take this and you'll survive the jump. That's the gospel message. The plane's going down, but there is a parachute. We have hope. We have hope, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So let me give you just a basic framework. Listen, there are a thousand different ways in which you can bring together the gospel message to share with other people, but I just want to keep things simple this morning. And simply put, in your outline, God has a plan. We call it the plan of salvation. It was always God's plan. That's what the scriptures are written for, God's plan for us. He created us to be with him. You were created with a purpose to be with him. But our sin separates us. The plane is going down because of our sin. Our deeds, our good deeds, will not get us into heaven. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, right? We're saved by grace. We're saved by grace, not by our own efforts. We're saved by Jesus and the blood of Jesus Christ at the cross. Our good deeds won't get us into heaven. But then God, Jesus lived a perfect life that we cannot live on our own. He died on the cross for my sins and for your sins. And he has fully covered the sin debt that is on your life. Each one of us has a spiritual debt that we paid for with our choices, sin. But we cannot cover the cost. And Jesus Christ covered it at the cross. So everyone who trusts in him will have eternal life. There's a hope after this life. There's a future in eternity, in heaven. And your only hope is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Let me give you a quick example, and I decided that I'll do it from up here because if I sat next to Tammy, she would kill me later on for making her stand out. But it would be like if I was a single guy and I saw Tammy, and of course I'm going to want to go talk to her. I mean, why wouldn't I, right? And so I go up to her and I say, hey, how you doing? And she says, I'm going to kill you. But I just say, God has a plan for your life. I don't know if you know that, but God has a plan for your life. And he loves you. And you were created to be with him. Losing my mic here. You're created to be with him. But our sin separates us from God. We are all sinners. And no matter how hard you try, you will not get into heaven by your good works. But Jesus Christ came, and he lived a life that we cannot. And he died on the cross for you, paying your sin debt. He rose from the dead, and he has ascended to heaven. And all those who call upon him, repent and call on the name of Jesus Christ, will be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. And if you believe that today, today you will be in paradise with Christ. You will be assured of that eternity. It's that simple. Right? I didn't use all these big crazy words like transubstantiation or, you know, communion. No. You don't need all of that. You just need to share the simple gospel truth. Now, I'll encourage you, there are a lot of great ways to share the gospel, and I would encourage you to even look up the Romans Road to Salvation. What an awesome way to take just one book of the Bible and walk people through the salvation message. But it's as simple as just talking to them about this. There's no reason for us not to share the gospel, except for maybe out of fear. But there's no reason otherwise. The gospel doesn't have to be complicated. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus in the end. I was thinking about this morning when I wanted to emphasize you need to know the gospel, but it's like a lamp. A lamp is a whole lot brighter with a light bulb in it, isn't it? Without the gospel message and not knowing the gospel message, we're like a light without a lamp without a light bulb. We need that light bulb. We're almost done, and then we'll do communion and be able to fellowship. Finally, we need to share the gospel. We need to go out and do it. Jesus gave us a commandment to go, to act, to do this, a commission, a mission. It's our mission statement. Go, share the gospel. Romans 10:14 says this, and this is such a cool verse. I don't even have to interpret it. I mean, you read it, you know what it's saying. How can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? Pretty simply put, right? Go out and share the gospel. How are they going to know what they need if we don't tell them? How are they going to know the church has the hope if we don't tell them about the hope? We hold the gospel truth, and this world needs it. This world needs that truth. A few key verses I left in your outline this morning. Mark 1:14-15 says, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. And 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, one of the simplest, greatest ways to bring about the gospel, the Apostle Paul writes, for what I have received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. What is he saying? God had a plan. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Let me close out with this point, and as our deacons get ready for communion. The Great Commission is not just a mission of evangelism. It is a commitment to do this every day of our lives. It's a lifelong fulfillment that we need to walk in, a commitment to make disciples. And Jesus left this earth with his authority upon what he was saying. right? He says it's under all authority that was given to him. What he's saying here is that he has the authority to commission us to go out and share the gospel, and it's that same authority that will go behind you when you go and share the gospel with someone else. Maybe you're terrified to share it with those people in your realm of influence. Maybe you have someone you love in your family that just does not believe in God. Maybe you're challenged by a coworker that you see constantly struggling at work and you want to share it with them. And we get froze up, right? We have that fight, flight, or freeze. So we freeze up because we don't want to tell them because we're afraid of what they're going to say. You have the authority of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, behind you when you go and share the gospel. You have a mission. It's a commandment, not a suggestion. Go and share the gospel. And you have his presence. He promises us he will be with us till the end of the age. Be encouraged by that this morning, believers. He will be with you and he will help you. But now, go. Share the gospel. Make disciples and show others what it looks like to walk with Jesus. The world needs that. God just wanted me to tell you. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your message. I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, he is my only hope. Eternity has been assured for me by his blood shed on the cross. And this morning, Lord, there may be some in our church who will hear this message on Facebook or our website or somewhere else that needs that hope too. Father, I pray today that they would come forward after the service and that they would receive you. Lord, I pray that we, the gospel bearers, would go out of these four walls, this building, go out as the church and share the gospel. Lord, may you bless us this morning. I pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right. Roger's going to lead us in a hymn, and our deacons are going to prepare us for communion.